Turn with me in God's Word to the book of Galatians, chapter 1. It is a privilege to be with you again. And Pastor, thank you for the opportunity, the invitation to come. We look forward to talking about our Baptist heritage today. And then, Lord willing, Monday through Wednesday, we will talk about Bible prophecy. I want to say, before I get started, thank you for the support that you give to the Baptist History Preservation Society. You do so monthly, and it is a blessing. It's a help to us in accomplishing the work that God has called us to do. Now, since we have been with you, we have continued the work of preserving our heritage. Of course, we do the Baptist History Tours. We travel and preach and teach on the subject, just as we'll do this morning. We are commissioning the paintings, and you see some of those prints here today. We're going to talk about some of them. We have been able to commission 7 paintings to date, and we continue to place the monuments, memorial monuments around the country. 22 of them we have placed at various sites to commemorate perhaps an old saint of God that was used in his service, maybe a place that was much used by the Lord, or an event. And we hope that God will use that as folks will linger by those monuments and learn what they can about their heritage. We are busy collecting the works, the writings of the Baptist, and putting together a library and archives there in North Carolina. And anything that folks want to learn about their heritage, we hope they'll be able to come there at any time and use those materials which have been collected. And so I just want to give you a brief update of what we're doing. And again, to say thank you for joining with us in making that work possible. Galatians chapter 1, and beginning with verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. But I went into Arabia, and returned again into Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ, but they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. It is a privilege to be here this morning with the saints in the meeting house. God, we do pray that you would be glorified in the things which are spoken. God, may you use your word and the stories of our heritage to be a help unto those gathered here this morning. We do love you. We thank you for salvation. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is the story of the apostle in Galatians chapter 1. You notice in verse 13, after talking about preaching the gospel, the Spirit of God moves him to say, "For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it." And that indeed was the testimony of Saul of Tarsus. He was a persecutor. You know that indeed he brought men and women who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ to answer for the great crime of professing salvation. And he indeed was a persecutor. But what happened after he got saved? When he got saved, he stopped persecuting. And that is the way it is throughout the history of the New Testament church. Those who had previously been persecutors, once they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the persecution against the saints of God ceases. Does not the Bible say in John 13 and verse 35, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another? You can tell true Christianity because it does not persecute. Oh, you might disagree with what it is that someone else believes and what they practice, but you don't persecute them for it. You do not seek to take their lives or give them a beating. Instead, you preach the Word of God. We would not use a sword of steel to make a convert to what we believe, but we would use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We'd preach Jesus unto them, and if they don't believe the Word of God, that's between them and God. It was that way with the apostle. He was such a persecutor, the Scripture says there in verse 23, but they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. So this one who was a persecutor becomes a preacher. And folks, he also becomes persecuted, does he not? Because he has embraced the faith which once he destroyed, he is persecuted for that faith. Why, you look just a few chapters over and you'll see that he is suffering in prison. You'll see that he has stripes laid upon his back. The book of Acts will end, and you'll find that the apostle is in prison there, preaching in his own hired house for 2 whole years. He is persecuted for the faith. And folks, we know as Baptists that we have an ancient heritage. And I do appreciate you trying to make that heritage known. That's part of what's going on today. And I see prints that are hanging on the wall and information about the Baptist faith there in the display case at the back. I appreciate that. It's good that we do not forget where we have come from. It's good that we will remember the faith which is a scriptural faith. And I see some young folks here this morning, and especially you young folks, I'd ask that you become familiar with your heritage, which is a scriptural heritage. It is the right faith. It's a true faith. And that you never let it go. You remain faithful to that scriptural heritage as long as you live. And I would remind you that just as it was with the apostle, so has it been throughout the centuries of the New Testament church. Folks, whenever you find the true believers, they are often maligned and they are frequently persecuted because of the faith which they profess. And when we talk about the true believers, folks, we are talking about a Baptist people. Why, even your Protestant historians and your Roman Catholic historians admit, all of them, that the original Christians are the Baptist. And folks, all across the centuries of the New Testament church, Baptists have been persecuted for their faith. And we'd like to spend a little time this morning calling to your attention some of that persecution. Why, you know on the pages of God's Word, especially in the book of Acts, it chronicles the persecution brought against the true believers simply because they had placed their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You will also see that, just like the apostle, that once someone got saved, they did not persecute. And it's always been that way with the Baptist. Though we have been put to death by the millions, millions upon millions of your Baptist ancestors slaughtered for their faith, and many, many millions more suffering besides them, we know that there's not one instance in recorded history, not one, where a Baptist has ever persecuted anyone for their faith. And why is that? Because we believe in soul liberty. You might disagree with me, and you have the right to do that, but I do not have the right to persecute you because of it. The matter of conscience is between the individual and God. And the individual will have to stand before the Lord one day and give an account for what they believe and what they profess and whether or not they have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior or not. And that's not up to me to decide down here. So Baptists have often been persecuted, but they did never persecute. You can make it there to the 3rd, 4th, and 5th century of the New Testament church. You can find an ancient group of Baptists called the Donatists. They were centered there in North Africa. And because they would not give their property as far as their meeting houses are concerned, to Rome, they were persecuted. Rome ordered that they be put to death, and they were exterminated by the thousands. You look at the Albigenses there in France, a group of ancient Baptist people who also suffered greatly for their faith. Crusades marched against them, and great atrocities perpetrated against them. Why, in one city, the city of Béziers there in southern France, a group of your Baptist ancestors living there, thousands of them, the city, 60,000 people in that city, it was besieged by the crusade. They were ordered to submit to the teachings of Rome or else. And they said, we cannot. We must obey the word of God. And in one day, every man, woman, and child in that city was put to death. Their bodies burned to ashes. One day. Why? Because of the faith which they professed. Folks, you can talk about the Waldensians, an ancient Baptist people there in Italy and France. They lived in the Alps. And I have had the privilege to travel to that place and see some of those ancient churches, their meeting houses still standing, and see the place where many of them were put to death. Millions of your Waldensian ancestors, Baptists, were put to death for their faith. Crusades marched against them. It has ever been the lot of true Bible-believing Christians that they would be persecuted for their faith. Why? Because there would normally be, in every place where Baptists dwelt, in every place where there was Christianity, those who believed the Scriptures and those who would establish themselves as religion. And everywhere there is an established religion, your Baptist ancestors suffered for their faith. Everywhere. What do we mean by an established religion? We mean that by law, that there is one faith that is established, which means that everyone who is a citizen of that particular country must submit themselves to that faith. They must practice that faith. They must attend the services of that faith. And if they do not, they are lawbreakers. They're guilty of a crime against the state, against the government, and their lives were in danger. And folks, there have been established religions from the earliest days of the New Testament until the present. There are still countries where there is a certain religion as the established religion, and the citizens of those countries are required to submit to that faith and to practice it. And if they do not, there will be persecution. It was that way with the Waldensians there in Italy and in France. They had to submit themselves to the established religion. They had to embrace that faith or else. But what does a Bible believer do? We understand that God is the one to whom we must answer. We understand that the Scriptures are what we must obey, that this is our authority, and that we must do what thus saith the Word of God. We would be like the apostles of old there in Acts chapter 5, who said we ought to obey God rather than man. And sometimes that means we'd have to suffer for our faith. And it was that way with the Waldensians. Millions of them put to death because they said we must obey God rather than man. It is important that we preach the Word of God, that we preach the true faith. And they died, many of them as a result. Almost every one of them being exterminated at one time in their history. But still, they remained faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, folks, we're not talking about pacifism. We are not talking about being unwilling to defend our families and to defend our property. If you study these Waldensian people, they were a peace-loving people. They did their best to live peaceably with every man. But whenever those crusades were brought against them, though they did not desire a fight, they fought as men to defend their families and to defend their property. And folks, that's what a strong man will do according to the Scripture. You can't spoil his house unless you bind him.
And we know that our Baptist ancestors were men. They were not pacifists. They stood for the faith of God's Word, and they did not persecute, but they would defend themselves. And still, they were put to death for it. We're just giving you some examples in history of those who suffered for the Lord Jesus Christ as Baptist. You can go to the country of Switzerland today, that country that is neutral in conflicts that take place around the world, but having an established religion. They were not neutral as far as your Baptist ancestors are concerned. You can go there and walk the perimeter of Lake Zurich, and there you'll find a plaque that tells that this is the place where the Baptist Felix Mantz was put to death. For you see, that established religion said you Baptists are not welcome to worship as the Lord leads you here in this place. And if you do, we will persecute you. Felix Mantz was put to death, drowned in Lake Zurich. Balthasar Hubmeier, another of the Baptist leaders there in Switzerland, was put to death for his faith because he was a Baptist and wanted to please God and serve Him instead of pleasing man. We think of Jacob Habegger there in Trexelwald, Switzerland. I've had the privilege of going to the Trexelwald Tower and walking to the top of that tower and seeing the place where your Baptist ancestor, Jacob Habegger, was imprisoned. Folks, he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and he began to preach the Word of God and he was put in prison for it and he was persecuted. And they told him that he would not be released unless he denied the faith, unless he recanted, and he agreed to do so. But on the very day they released him, they were going to baptize his son there at the Baptist church. His son pleaded with him that he would attend services so that he could see his baptism, and he agreed to do so. And so overcome with grief because he had denied the faith, he broke into tears and he asked those people present if they would forgive him for denying the faith and if they would pray for him, that God would strengthen him, that he'd never deny the faith again. And they forgave him. They prayed for him. He immediately began to preach the Lord Jesus Christ again as a Baptist. It brought the ire of the authorities against him. They came to his home and they seized his property. They took his wife and put her in the tower there in Trexelwald, and she sickened and died while she was in prison. They took his children and sold them as slaves. They burned every one of his buildings, his home, his barns, the outbuildings. They burned every one of them to the ground. They seized his property, and still he preached the Word of God. And then they seized him and put him in that tower again. There in the top of that tower, you can still see the wooden bed to which he was chained for 7 years. 7 years chained to that bed and unable to move for any reason whatsoever. Folks, can you imagine such torture? And still, he did not deny the faith. His sentence was commuted to a life sentence. And the rest of his life, 23 years, he spent there in that prison in the tower at Trexelwald. But writing to his brethren on the outside, exhorting them to continue in the faith, exhorting them to preach the Word of God and never to deny the faith as Baptists. Folks, that's the kind of heritage that we have. People have suffered for their faith as Baptists. And how often today do we think so little of who we are and how we have been blessed and the heritage that has been delivered to us. You can go to the country of England. There in Lichfield, England, you can visit the spot where your Baptist ancestor, Edward Whiteman, was burned at the stake for his faith, April 11, 1612. King James witnessed the execution and determined that never again would there be anyone put to death in England by burning. A Baptist preacher, the last one burned at the stake in England. He died for his faith. You know the story of John Bunyan, how Bunyan, because he would not take a license from the established religion to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, was put in prison. And there he remained for 12 years. early on in the imprisonment, he was brought before the judge and told that if he would promise not to preach anymore, they would release him. He said, if you release me today, I'll preach tomorrow. Folks, God had called him to do that. And he was intent on preaching the Word of God. You know the story of John Bunyan. He preached to just a handful of dissenters, Baptists as they were called, before he was put in prison. But while he was in prison, he wrote his autobiography, Grace Abounded to the Chief of Sinners. He wrote The Pilgrim's Progress, which is the most published book in the history of the world next to your King James Bible. And it was in print and circulating before he was released from that long imprisonment. And folks, whereas he preached to just a handful before he went into prison, whenever he was released, he had achieved worldwide fame. And when he would preach on that occasion, the crowds were so great that thronged to hear him that literally they'd have to lift him above their heads and pass him from man to man until he reached the pulpit where he'd preach the Word of God. God had exalted him, and he was faithful. He did not deny the faith, even though he was persecuted for it. On and on you could go talking about those who were persecuted for their faith in England. Many of them languished in the dungeons, of many of them being persecuted for simply being Baptist. And folks, we ought to remember those who were persecuted for their faith. We then think about those here in America. And folks, the Baptists were not exempt from suffering here in this place. Very soon after the Pilgrims arrived, the Baptists made their way here also. You remember that the Pilgrims came to get religious liberty, but they did not afford that religious liberty to those who followed them. They established religion here in America, which meant if you don't worship, as we say, we will persecute you. And that's what happened to your Baptist ancestors here. You have the picture back there on the wall of the beating of Obadiah Holmes, a Baptist who was beaten for his faith in Boston, September the 6th, 1651. And folks, beaten only because he was a Baptist, because it was against the law to be a Baptist and practice your faith there in Massachusetts at the time. An established religion. And folks, there are people today who will say that separation of church and state is a myth. Those folks don't understand what that's all about. They don't understand that at one time in America there was an established religion. And whenever the United States became a separate nation among the nations of the world, that we had something known as the Bill of Rights that explained the great document, the Constitution of the United States. The First Amendment to the Constitution and that Bill of Rights guaranteed religious liberty. Folks, it's a Baptist amendment. Even secular historians will admit that that is part of the Constitution because Baptist alone demanded that it be a part of our country's laws. Why? Why did they demand such? Because there was an established religion. In the North, the religion that was established was Congregationalism. In the South, the religion that was the established religion was Anglicanism, the Episcopal faith. You had to worship the way the established religion demanded or else. And Baptists said it shouldn't be that way. We ought to have religious liberty. Everyone should be able to worship as God leads them. And if they don't want to worship, they shouldn't be compelled to. And folks, we have religious liberty because of God using Baptists in this country. But they had to struggle for that liberty. As we have mentioned, Obadiah Holmes shed his blood. Thomas Painter, the Baptist there in Massachusetts, shed his blood. Baptists all over that colony were persecuted. They fared no better in most of the New England states. We know that there in Maine, William Screven and the Baptist were ordered to leave that place because they didn't want the Baptists there. And Screven and his congregation boarded ship and sailed south to South Carolina, where in 1683 they started the First Baptist Church in the South. It was done so. It was born under adversity. We think of Connecticut the Baptists that were persecuted in that place. Nathaniel Drake, a deacon in the Baptist church in Windsor, Connecticut, was in prison for his faith for over 1 year simply because he was a Baptist. Joshua Moores, a man who assisted in ordaining Shubal Stearns to the gospel ministry, was often beaten for his faith there in Connecticut. Many Baptists languished in the jails there in that place. And folks, everywhere that you find Baptists, with the exception of Rhode Island and New Jersey, they are in prison. They are suffering for their faith. And when you make your way south, there in Virginia, we find that Baptists were in prison as well. You know the story of the separate Baptists. There is the print that shows the constituting service of the Sandy Creek Baptist Church, which took place November the 20th, 1755. And folks, those separate Baptists, as they preach, they went everywhere starting churches. And many of those people who started those churches in Virginia were persecuted for their faith. Shubal Stearns would preach the gospel. And brothers, Joseph and William Murphy, believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and God called them to preach. Joseph would remain there in North Carolina, and William would eventually make his way to Kentucky and would plant churches here in this place, and he's buried in the soil in this state. We know that on one occasion, in Danville, Virginia, Joseph and William were preaching the gospel, and a man there who is a colonel at the local fort would come to hear them out of curiosity. He'd never heard Baptists preach before. And he slipped into that storefront where they were preaching, and he was seated behind a loom there, hoping that he wouldn't be seen perhaps, but the Spirit of God knew he was there. And he used the preaching of his word to get a hold of the heart of Samuel Harris. And he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and God called him to preach. And Samuel Harris would travel all over Virginia preaching the word of God. And it was said his preaching was so powerful that it would almost be like celestial streams of lightning that would go forth from his eyes and would smite the hearers. And they'd believe on the Lord. And Samuel Harris was responsible for starting over 50 Baptist churches in Virginia. And he was often persecuted for his faith, beaten because he would preach the Word of God, but it didn't deter him from doing what he had been called to do. Just as the apostle was not deterred from preaching the Word of God, even though he was persecuted. Samuel Harris would make his way there in Orange County, Virginia, and as he would preach the Word of God, a young man by the name of Lewis Craig would follow him around. Craig was unconverted. In fact, when Samuel Harris would preach at the conclusion of the service, Craig, as a lost man, would stand up with tears streaming down his face, and under conviction he'd say, "Friends and neighbors, if we don't get right with God, if we don't believe what this man is saying, we're going to die and go to hell." And some of his friends would believe because he persuaded them to do so as a lost man. But he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior also, and God called him to preach. And Lewis Craig, of course, those of you who have read something about Kentucky Baptist history, Lewis Craig, because of the persecution that would arise against him and the Baptists there in Virginia, would pick up his entire church and they would travel to Kentucky. In 1781, it was known as the Traveling Church, and the entire group of them migrated into Kentucky and started the first separate Baptist church in this place, the fourth oldest Baptist church in Kentucky. But Lewis Craig was the first Baptist arrested for his faith there in Virginia. And he was brought before the magistrate on that occasion, and they asked him to defend his faith, and he did so. And he did so in such an effective manner that one of the jurors, swearing Jack Waller, fell under conviction. He said he'd never forget that that Baptist preacher did something very unusual whenever they released him. Or he wasn't in prison on that occasion. He was just arrested. But he said that Lewis Craig did something very unusual. He bought the gentlemen of the jury and the judge a round of drinks, and he proposed a toast to them. "Gentlemen of the jury, when I was living in sin for Satan, you seemed to take no notice of me. But now that I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and am preaching the gospel, I seem to occupy a great deal of your attention." And he said, swearing Jack said, "It convicted me of my sin." 6 months later, he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and God called him to preach. And the next time that Baptists were arrested in Virginia, Lewis Craig was arrested, but John Waller, on a swearing jack, who had been saved, John Waller was arrested right along with him. Five Baptists arrested on that occasion, and that time they are put in prison. 43 days. 43 days they spend in the Spotsylvania County Jail there in Virginia. It was Patrick Henry himself who came to their defense on that occasion and obtained their release. Folks, everywhere then Baptists would be persecuted in Virginia because there is an established religion. John Waller is preaching. On one occasion, the magistrate comes into the meeting house, takes him by the hair of the head, drags him from the meeting house, and men waiting on the outside assist him, giving the Baptist a beating with a whip. 20 lashes. Blood is dripping from his body. They told him never to preach in that county again. And what did he do? He went right back into the meeting house. He stepped into the pulpit. The congregation said, "Preacher, are you okay?" And with blood dripping from his body, he took them to the scripture in Exodus, which says that the best oil for use in the tabernacle is beaten oil. And he raised his voice toward heaven and preached the word of God to the approval of his Savior and in defiance of the authorities. Again, showing we ought to obey God rather than man. John Waller would spend a total of 113 days in four different jails in Virginia simply because of his faith. And that brings us then to the print before us this morning. This print. You see, one who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as a result of the preaching of John Waller would be John Weatherford. John Weatherford lived in Chesterfield County, Virginia. He began to preach the Word of God after he got saved. And God would use him. But because there is an established religion, because it's against the law there in Virginia for Baptists to practice their faith, he is in prison. And because he could not go to the congregation would come to him. And they would listen to him preach while he was there in prison. And as he would preach the Word of God, and you can see it's shown in the print, as he preached the Word of God, he would thrust his arms through the windows there of that jail cell. And the authorities waiting on the outside would slash his arms with their knives. And it is said that blood would drip from his arms as he would preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They tried to silence him and they could not. It's said that he carried those scars to his grave. But even though they tried to get him to quit preaching, he would not. The crowds continued to swell there outside of that jail. You can go to Chesterfield County this very day and you can see the replica of that old jail with the stock standing on the outside porch. You can see the monument that's there in that courtyard there in Chesterfield County, Virginia, erected there to honor the seven Baptist preachers who were imprisoned in that place. And John Weatherford, imprisoned for 5 months there in Chesterfield County, Virginia, simply because of his faith as a Baptist. They tried to keep the crowds from coming, but they could not. They built a large brick wall around the jail so that the people could not see. And the people would climb up on top of the wall and they'd sit and listen to him preach the gospel. And then they lined the top of that wall with broken glass so that the people could not get up there. And then they devised a method. They got a message to the preacher and said, "Preacher, when you see the white flag, we're gathered, we're assembled, we're ready for you to preach." And they put a handkerchief around a long pole and they would raise it above that wall and they'd wave the flag and he knew that the crowd was assembled. And he would raise his voice and he'd preach the gospel. And great scenes of revival took place outside of that jail there in Chesterfield County, Virginia. Crowds of people would throng to hear him as he would preach. And people are saved. Men called to preach. Eleazar Clay is called to preach. He is saved there outside of that jail in Chesterfield County, Virginia. And he is called to preach there at the same time. And he would make his way into Kentucky where he'd plant Baptist churches and preach the gospel. His brother Henry Clay would make his way here as well. folks, he's the most well-known, but his brother Eleazar was the Baptist preacher who was saved right outside of this place that's pictured in this print. Many other Baptists there in Virginia were persecuted for their faith, but they were just like the apostles there in the New Testament. We ought to obey God rather than men. And folks, James Ireland, persecuted, imprisoned for his faith there in Virginia. Elijah Baker, imprisoned for his faith there in Virginia. Andrew Tribble, imprisoned for his faith there in Virginia. Tribble was the one who met with Thomas Jefferson because he pastored there prior to the war for American independence. He pastored not far from Jefferson's home, and Jefferson would often come and meet with that Virginia Baptist preacher and listen to him preach, and on one occasion he invited him home with him to dine. And so the Baptist preacher, Andrew Tribble, would make his way to the home of Jefferson, and while they are dining, Tribble would ask Jefferson, "What do you think of the Baptist church?" And Thomas Jefferson told the Baptist preacher that he saw in the Baptist church the purest form of democracy then existing anywhere in the world, and felt like that would be the best model on which to build the government of the new nation. Folks, America learned democracy from Baptist churches. Andrew Tribble, that Baptist preacher, would make his way into Kentucky. Another one of the Baptists who were persecuted in Virginia makes his way just outside of Richmond, Kentucky. It's where he would pastor and where he is buried, the Tates Creek Baptist Church. Folks, we have a wonderful heritage. You people here in Kentucky have a great heritage of Bible-believing Baptists who suffered for their faith and who made their way here preaching the gospel and planting churches. The story of John Weatherford is just one of many millions of stories that concern liberty, religious liberty, Baptists who suffered for their faith throughout the history of the New Testament church. And folks, when you see prints like that of Obadiah Holmes being beaten, it's not an isolated incident. When you see prints like John Weatherford being in prison, it's not an isolated incident. One of many. But I would encourage you not only to learn these stories, but to learn from these stories, to receive strength from the Scriptures that tell us of those like the apostle of old who could not be silenced, who was willing, in spite of persecution, to preach the Word of God, to stand for the scriptural faith. I would exhort you all not to forget the great price that has been paid for us to have religious liberty and the great example that has been set by Baptists who have gone before us to preach the gospel and to practice the faith, even in spite of the persecution that will arise. Father, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for the example that we find in the life of the apostle and the life of others on the pages of Scripture, but God, on the pages of history, throughout the history of the church. God, we're grateful for our Baptist ancestors who practice the faith. God, who would not be coward. God, we pray that you would help us, that you'd strengthen us. God, we're grateful for men like John Waller and John Weatherford and how you use them. God, would you use us, we pray, that we might also be faithful in this our day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.